Conquer your green with SoFi, a bank that helps women grow their money with an all-in-one app where you can bank, borrow, and invest. Earn a highly competitive APY, get a personal loan, or even trade stocks and ETFs. SoFi, get your money right. Banking products and loans offered by SoFi Bank, N.A., NMLS 696891. Brokerage and active investing products offered through SoFi Securities LLC. Member FINRA/SIPC.
We're going to talk about golf.
Mostly.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, let's do it together. Golf.
Mostly.
Welcome to the first episode ever of Golf Mostly. Michelle, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers to the mic. Cheers to the mic. Producer Chris. Cue drum roll, cue air horn, cue all the things, because it is actually happening. We're sitting here in the LA Golf Clubhouse. It's been a long time coming, but we're doing it.
We really are.
Is
that a tear in your eye?
I am a little, I mean,
Or is it allergies?
It's a little both. It's a little both.
Excuse me.
Excuse me. Anyways, well, I guess we should talk about what we're doing here. Very excited that we've started this project, Golf Mostly, which, listen, it's going to be a lot of different things. We don't even know everything that's going to be just yet, but we got a lot of things on the horizon. We're starting with the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, don't be surprised where we take this, because we have no idea.
We have no, I mean,
but
fashion,
food,
aviation.
We're supposed to say the same thing.
Oh. But yeah, basically the name Golf Mostly is a bit tongue in cheek because it's not really going to be golf mostly. It's going to be a little bit of everything. Of course,
You
know, the people we have on. Met them through golf or because, you know, somehow. Maybe they play golf, maybe they don't.
Yeah,
but we're pumped. And I guess we should give you a little bit of background on us. Michelle and I have known each other for how long now?
Without aging us, I think the first time I met you was, I was like 16.
And you're 16? How many years older than you are, me?
I don't know.
Or how many?
I want to say my age.
Okay. I think I must have been like 13.
Yeah, I think you're 3 years younger than me.
Yeah, 13.
I think, yeah.
Okay. So I was 13. Michelle was 16. I have a very vivid memory of Michelle coming to our Thanksgiving, and my dad was her golf coach. So that is how our relationship started. Michelle came to our Thanksgiving. There's a picture of Michelle. I should find it because it'd be really
funny. I have it.
You do?
I start it in my favorites.
Oh, really? Where I'm standing like a foot away from you?
You look like it was Stranger Danger for sure for you. You're like, I don't trust this 6-foot Asian girl.
But
what is she doing in my house?
I was so intimidated, but just so excited that you spent Thanksgiving with us. And I think you spent a Christmas with us too. And then I spent a Christmas with you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. It's such a journey.
The one thing that I remember from that Thanksgiving is your dad was like, okay, we have 12 people coming, but we have 13 pies.
Yeah, we do a lot of pies.
The Ledbetters love their sweets. David especially.
Yeah, and he likes to act like he doesn't. He's like, I'm super healthy. And then it's like, where's the rest of the pie?
But they put a sticky toffee pudding in front of him.
Yeah, sticky toffee pudding, treacle tart. It's like some reason if it has hailed from the land of his ancestors, it doesn't count. Like any American sweets are shit. But English sweets, he's like, oh yeah, it's go time. Like, I'm trying to think. Oh, speaking of sweets, it reminds me of Halloween, which we had a great memory built around Halloween. It was my 21st birthday. I had transferred from University of Arkansas to Rollins College in Orlando. And Michelle said, hey, 21.
Let's go to Miami.
Let's go to Miami. As one does. And it ended up being great. But we had a few...
I mean, I had like dinner planned. I got a table at Live.
It was great.
As one does
as one
in
does.
Miami.
Yes.
And, you know, she comes down. You know, it's a long drive from Orlando.
Yes, it was.
And, you know, we're getting ready. And I was like, you know, being funny, don't forget your ID. It's literally the most important thing on your 21st birthday. And her face goes white. And, of course, what's the one thing? And she probably brought like 10 outfits for one night.
Oh, a lot of outfits.
But no ID.
No ID. My ID was actually, so my birthday is during Halloween time, and there had been a Halloween costume party at Rollins just a few days prior, and my ID was in the back pocket of my leather policewoman skirt.
Policewomen wear skirts.
They do.
And it's leather. It's a very accurate Halloween costume, but...
Unfortunately, yeah. But then it worked out.
It worked out. I mean, there were some tears that were shed, mm-hmm. Some drunk tears because Holly was like, I'm just going to go back to my room. You guys have fun by yourselves. I'll be fine by myself. And, you know, I was like, everyone else went in. I was like, I'll figure it out. You know, like a little Miami handshake.
Oh, Miami handshake. I was then Michelle Wee.
Yeah, she was Asian for the night. It was great.
Asian and 6 feet tall for the night.
Yes, yes.
But
we had fun.
A lot of fun. A
lot of fun.
A lot of fun. We do have a lot of fun. And now, we've never lived in the same place.
No.
Which is until now. Which until is. Now,
but you're moving away.
No, I'm not. We're not even going there. We're saving that for another episode. I'm not moving away. I'm moving like 30 minutes away.
Yeah, which, you know, in LA terms is another state.
Okay, yeah.
But, okay, going back to the ID though, you have a problem.
With
remembering to bring your ID.
I do. Oh,
because
you're right.
Because we went to the ESPYs a couple weeks ago. Months ago? What is the time? Anyways, we get there and she's like, oh, I forgot my ID. I'm like, again.
I know.
Like, what if we can't get in?
I know. Luckily, we didn't have any problems.
Yeah. Do you have your ID today?
Probably. I could go find it, but I'm pretty sure I do. I'm pretty sure I have my ID. Yeah. So lots of fun stories, lots of more funny stories to be told throughout this golf mostly journey.
We have a really fun guest coming today. You know, she's been a part of many fun nights back at a time when we're all single, you yes. and I, just living life in New York City.
Living life.
I remember you lived in on the fourth floor
walk up.
I mean, walk up is in all a lot capital of walking. Letters.
And oh my God. First of all, that walk up, imagine with a massive OGO club gov. Listen, shout out OGO, love you. But I mean, we got to figure out how to transport these things upstairs easier. And also my neighbors probably hate me because when I have to go down the stairs, that's the easy part, but it's very noisy. So I would just shove it at like 4:30 in the morning on the way to LaGuardia. So
don't we love New York though?
I really do. Yeah, I miss it so much.
Close to so many good pizza places.
I know.
Anyways, this our friend of ours. We have a lot of great stories in New York. But before we introduce her, I just want to take a quick second to thank our presenting sponsor, LA Golf. I get asked almost every day, what is LA Golf? Well, short answer is that they partner with the best players to make the most technologically advanced shafts and putters ever made. But first, let's start with the fact that LA Golf truly partners with players. DJ, Bryson, and I all invested and even joined the board. LA Golf is the only American-made shafts and have proprietary-designed structure and anti-vibration material to make them stiffer without being heavier and still feel buttery soft. One club fitter said the driver shafts are adding 12 to 14 yards of carry on average nationwide. Then this year, LA Golf launched the first ever carbon putter with the 50% larger sweet spot, the stiffest shaft in the industry, and descending loft face technology that allows your ball to roll more quickly off the face instead of skipping and skidding. Personally, having dealt with injuries my entire life, the shafts not only improve my ball flight, but allow me to swing without pain. And the first time I ever tried the putter, my mind was blown. I felt like it cut the break in half because of how true it rolls. Go to lagolf.co and feel for yourself.
She's a professional tennis player, an Olympian. You've seen her in Sports Illustrated on the Tennis Channel, hosting pizza parties in New York City. The one and only Jeannie Bouchard, everybody. Give it up. Everybody in the studio. Wow. There's so many people here. Yes, you can. Of course.
Yeah. I mean, it's an honor. It's a privilege.
I'm
but in
honored.
Your own words, yes. How would you describe what it means to be our first guest?
I am very honored to be your first guest. I feel like this is going to be a kind of rough draft of how things are going to go. So, like, we'll hit some bumps in the roads, and I feel like you guys are going to get into your groove. And I'm here for, you know, all the mistakes.
We're truly going to be unhinged. We're starting with the forgot to tell you to dress comfortably.
So yeah. By the way, that. How come I didn't get the sweatsuit memo?
It was my bad.
That's Michelle's bad.
Yeah. Because I was like, oh, is it on camera? Okay, let me look cute. And then these guys show up like they've been on a sleepover or something.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, we're comfy cash, but. my God. Okay.
Comfy cash.
Comfy cash.
Is that a new genre of clothes?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a thing.
I think cash is actually too high up for what you are dressed as.
We're just comfy. We're clearly just comfy.
I feel like this is my fancy sweats I have.
You do. There's a nice floral pattern.
Yeah, there's a pattern. They're matching. They like.
That's true. Those are the ones you wear out of the house for sure. Because there's some others that just don't even leave the house.
No, no, no. But in all seriousness, we all go way back.
Very far back.
Way, way back.
We've had a lot of fun in New York. We were touching about that earlier. But I want to talk about our nights in New York. It's more specifically Halloween.
Oh, yeah, that was a good time. I think we first have to, well, the first time that we ever met in New York was during the day. And I
forgot about that.
Yes, it was. I was like, we can talk about the New York nights. But the day that we had together, or you guys had together, and I watched you have, it looked like a great time. Jeannie was teaching Michelle how to play tennis, and Michelle was teaching Jeannie how to play golf. And I thought you guys kind of just hit it off. I feel like you guys were fast friends.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's how I felt. I felt like we could relate so well being a female athlete, especially being in an individual sport as well. And we just have similar personalities. So I was like instant best friend from day one. And can you admit, though, I definitely golfed better than how she played tennis?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Rude. I mean, I think the biggest part about me and tennis. Okay, listen, I wanted to be a tennis player so badly when I grew up. Like, I wanted to play tennis over golf, like, all the time.
I love that.
But I have very heavy feet. It's like I have lead on my feet and I cannot move to the ball. Mm. And I just, you know, there's a part, like, the athleticism really involved in tennis that you don't see in golf.
Right.
And obviously, like, I have great hand-eye coordination, but, like, the running part.
The footwork.
The
movement.
Zero.
But the heavy feet are good for golf because
you're just stuck there. Yeah. No, but I felt like the moment that we really bonded was the moment that we both looked at each other and we knew we wanted to cut the polos.
Yes.
And then, but we just knew without saying anything, we just got scissors. And I looked at my Nike rep and I was like, this is like, I can't believe I'm doing this.
Are we allowed? I mean, we had to ask for permission.
Because they were dressing each other for a little background here.
Well, were we?
Sort of. Were you not?
That sounds kind of weird. But
well,
yeah.
You were helping each other pick your little outfits for the day.
Yeah. Which, by the way, golf and tennis have the cutest outfits. I love the little skirts and like the traditional little, we had like these polos. Anyway, we obviously needed to make whatever we were wearing cropped. Because we just lived that cropped lifestyle.
Yes.
And so it was way too much fabric. We were like, we got to get rid of half of this.
Yeah. Now I throw away every single crop shirt that I have in my closet.
Oh, no, don't. Come on. Come back on the crop train.
No, get back on the crop train.
You know, I think that crop train really has left the station and will not come back.
You'll be back.
Will I, though?
I think you will.
Okay.
I think you will.
I hope so.
But I know we want to talk about, we have a lot of things we want to talk about with Eugenie.
I see your iPad. There.
I've got like a whole
a full word. I've got notes.
A lot of notes.
Settle in here.
But one of the thing Michelle and I were talking about, and she told me that you guys have talked a lot about is, just like the sacrifice and grind of being a pro athlete and having injuries and how managing all that stuff. And Michelle was talking about even now that she's a mom. Which she wasn't a mom when we all first met.
Mm-hmm.
Far from it.
Sorry, I had to say it.
But I guess, I mean, you guys, I played sports growing up, but not at the level that you both did. And I asked Michelle this question and I pose it to both of you because I like people to hear your answer, Michelle, as well. But did you feel when you guys were traveling and living as professional athletes from such a young age, did you feel like you missed out on anything or was it worth it because you were getting all these other incredible opportunities that, you know, normal kids didn't really have?
I mean, I would say both. I definitely felt like I was missing out on a lot, especially as a kid. It's hard, I don't know, to miss birthday parties, to miss like family events. All my friends would be like going to this sleepover and I couldn't go because I had to play a tournament the next morning. And as a 9-year-old, that's devastating. You know what I mean? So, and every time my family talks about some like event they were all at, they were like, oh, was Jeannie there or not? Like it's always the question mark, you know? So definitely missed a lot, but then also it was all so worth it. And so it's just a sacrifice you have to make. I mean, there's only so many hours in a day. And so to do something so specialized, it just takes a certain amount of time and you can't go around that. You can't live a normal life and become elite, especially at a professional sport. So, a bit of both. And here we are.
Yeah, here we are.
Is there like one party or one event that you really look back on and kind of regret missing?
I don't remember a specific one, especially as a kid. It was really more like the family things. Sometimes I even had to miss Christmas because we go to Australia at the beginning of the year and we have to go early to get ready. And one time I literally had to fly on December 24th. I landed in Australia December 26th because you lose a day. Oh. And then when we woke up like in the morning on the flight, they had like hung these little like Christmas decorations around the plane and it was so sweet. But I was like, this is not helping.
This ain't it.
we all just literally missed Christmas. Yeah. So things like that really, you know, are kind of hard. But then I went to go play in the Australian Open, which is also unique and amazing. So you got to kind of pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little give and take. For what sure. about you, Michelle?
Yeah, I mean, I think about this a lot more now that I'm a mom, actually. Like, what's the right amount of push? Because right. I remember there were days, you know, like, I don't want to play golf anymore. You know, I remember, like, I hated going to Korean school every Saturday. It would be, like, an extra day of school. I'm like, I don't want to go, like, drag me there. But now I know how to speak Korean. So, like, what's the, like, the right amount of push, right? Like, what's the difference between, like, actually affecting your mental health versus, okay, if you just push a little bit further, you'll become elite.
Exactly.
Like, what – I mean, I don't have the answer to that.
And then your kid will appreciate it in return because, yeah. I mean, I remember being a kid and losing a match and being like, I'm quitting tennis. I hate tennis. And my parents, you know, would give me a day to blow off some steam or whatever, but then be like, okay, like, tennis practices this afternoon. And I'm like, no, I don't want to go. And they're like, okay, like, do this whole week. And then if you still don't want to, fine. You know, something mm-hmm. like – balanced like that. And then as soon as I'd get back into it, I would obviously want to keep playing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think you maybe adjust to how the kid is as well, but you need that push. You need that help because if That's kids true. Had their own way, they would just eat candy and Cheetos and watch Netflix all day. So, you know, you I remember need that help to go further.
Totally. I remember, do you guys play instruments at all?
I played the clarinet just in casual.
Like, I dabbled in
casual
the clarinet.
I don't know why that's so embarrassing, but like not even good. So anyway, just pretend I didn't say that.
We need that.
Yeah, I could probably dig that up.
We need that. We need that for the social promo. But I remember, you know, playing the piano and hating it. And my mom let me quit. And now I'm like, damn it, mom. Mm. I could have been a concert pianist.
Could you know?
Maybe. You know, I'll never know because Kelly let me quit.
It's true. It's true.
You know? Yeah, I totally feel that. But at the same time, if you wanted to quit so much, then maybe.
It probably wasn't for me, honestly.
It wasn't for you. Because like my twin sister, for example, she started with me in tennis at age 5. She retired at age 6. And now she looks. It was really not for her. We are very different. Mm. And, you know, now she'll like complain to my mom, like, why didn't you, you know, keep me playing tennis? Why don't you push me too? And my mom was like, I was not going to force a 6-year-old who absolutely did not want to play tennis to play tennis.
Right.
But then she sees, you know, the perks of my lifestyle and she's like, oh my gosh. But then I'm like, yeah, but you're also remember the 95% of the crazy hard work that goes into it that no one sees. But
so yeah, what was the difference? I'm curious because like between you and your sister, like, was she just like, just lay down on the ground and like refuse to go? And then you were just, but you said you didn't want to play sometimes and you're just like kind of sitting, but then you'll still go.
Right.
Like, what was the difference?
Well, this was early on when I never like had that feeling of never wanting to play. So it was like 5 years old. And it was just these 1 hour tennis like clinics once a week. And it was mostly like games, like bouncing balloons, jumping in circles, things that kids would find fun. And I hated it because we only played tennis for 10 minutes out of the hour. And every other kid in the group loved it. So it was like every other kid was normal. And then I was abnormal. And I would go crying to my parents, like, we only hit tennis balls for 10 minutes. They were like, okay, she's weird.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
she's into this,
can I play more? And they like put me in groups and private lessons. And so, you know, I think you also see a difference if a kid really likes something or has some aptitude or talent for it.
Good on your parents though for being able to distinguish that. I mean, yeah. I played in an amateur golf event the other day, which was very fun, but I was paired with this 15-year-old girl who all thought my boyfriend was my dad also, so that was weird.
Oh gosh.
I called him dad for the whole round.
I was going to say, did you call him that in front of her?
No. The rest of the day I did. Yeah. I was like,
what's the club daddy?
Dad. Yeah, exactly. But this girl's like 13, 14. And well, first she shot 75 and she's like, brutal day. And I was like, okay, relax. But she was like, I don't even want to be out here. Like, and it gave off like parents pushing their kids vibes, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm good on your parents for being able to be like, okay, Jeannie, into it. The other one. Hey,
well, maybe they're like, oh, we got one out of two. That's
great. Yeah, exactly. But going back to the perks, so I wanted to ask you and Michelle about, a lot of perks to being a professional athlete, especially a very well-known successful professional athlete. Was that like being famous at a young age? Like, when did you first realize, like, oh shit, like, people, are we cussing on this podcast? I don't know. We just talked about that.
Sure. Yeah, can we bleep it out?
Okay, we can bleep it out. Oh shoot.
That just had way less impact. Yeah.
I can't say the S word anymore because my daughter just started saying the S word.
Oh.
But she starts out saying, oh shit, and then she goes, oh shoot. She catches herself because I start saying, oh shit, and they're like, oh shoot.
But she goes, oh shit, oh shoot.
Oh yeah.
That's really adorable.
Parent of the year right here.
That's amazing.
We're working on it.
Working on it. I'm taking notes right now.
I don't think you're going to get notes from us. So I don't know what
you know. I am learning a lot, though. I am learning about the
pressure.
Then you can
pass on to us. Yeah. That's the whole point. You go first. So. Then we follow.
Yeah. Push them until they crack. That's why.
Fame.
Yes.
Yeah. When did you realize, like, oh, I am, I'm well known?
I think that the moment it was really more obvious to me was after I made the finals of Wimbledon. I came back to Montreal, had a couple weeks off, and was just getting recognized everywhere. And literally had my phone stolen from me, like, at a bar, and, like, had to bring a security guard with me when I would just go to, like, restaurants and stuff, or else people would, like, keep interrupting, like, asking for pictures, which I love doing and I love fans, but I'm like, okay, let me just, like, finish my meal real quick and then I'll do all you guys. But so it was that moment where I just felt this sudden, like, eyes on me everywhere, which kind of adds a sense of, like, stress because you're aware of all your movements, you know, every step you take, you're like overthinking, like, okay, is this, what would people think if I, you know, walk down the street and go get McDonald's right now? So, that was an interesting time to adjust to that.
I mean, Canada loves you. I remember I went to Calgary a couple months ago.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, Jeannie Bouchard?
Oh, no.
I'm like, yeah, I do. And they're like, oh my God. And then this lady, like, literally ran around the entire room. They're like, she knows Jeannie Bouchard.
They didn't even care about Michelle Wee.
They didn't care about me. I'm like, I'm here. You know, my intro, I'm Jeannie Bouchard's friend. Nice to meet you.
Part of your bio.
That was actually literally part of my bio.
Stop. I was joking.
No. The lady who introduced me was like, yada, yada, I want the US Open. But, you know, she's friends with Jeannie Bouchard. And that's what everyone. Someone, like, perked their ears. I was like, darn it.
Oh, that's funny. I'm going to use you in my intro whenever I need some, you know, extra brownie points.
Yeah, when you go to the little island of, you know, Oahu.
Exactly.
That'll get you some.
In Hawaii.
Some free poke.
Yeah, some free poke from Fresh Catch. Shout out Fresh Catch 808. But, you know, to have a whole country rally behind you. I mean, when you made the Olympic team, mm-hmm. I mean, that must have been amazing, right? Was that one of your biggest dreams growing up?
For sure. And it was actually at the time when, I don't know if you guys remember the whole Zika virus scare.
Yeah.
So some players were, like, not wanting to travel because of that. And I was kind of, it was a question mark. It wasn't like, for sure I'm going. It was kind of like, okay, am I going or not? And then I was like, who am I kidding? Like, I literally made it to the Olympics. There's nothing that's going to stop me from going. And I went, and it was such an amazing experience. Like, Canada had, we had our own, tower in the Olympic Village. And so just to meet all our fellow athletes and go to the, you know, player restaurant and just see, like, Michael Phelps walking by and eating food and just trading pins with people and going to watch other sports. I got to see, like, swimming, gymnastics, other stuff. It was like everything I dreamed of. You know, when you, like, expect something amazing, like, it was exactly that.
That's amazing. Okay, so you obviously grew up in Canada, Montreal, your entire life. And when you came to America or to somewhere that wasn't Canada for the first time, what was, like, one phrase or word that you thought was, like, everyone else used?
Okay.
That once you got there, like, oh, this is only Canadians only say this. I have stuff from Hawaii.
You do?
But when I moved to the mainland, I was like, okay, the people were like, what are you saying? So is there, like, a Canadian phrase that?
Yeah, well, I moved to Florida when I was 12 to start, you know, training kind of full time at an academy and try, you know, do this thing. And I get a lot of, like, people really just think I have a Canadian accent, which I don't know if you guys think I do or not.
I think you do.
Oh, I do?
Do you think she does?
I don't think as much as other people that I've heard.
No, it's not, like, super thick, but I'm like, she's from somewhere.
She's from not here.
Yeah.
So I get laughed at with some certain words that I say, like,
boot.
Yeah, well, it's not that, like, cliche, Michelle.
A?
A?
I will be known to throw in an A every once in a while. I do say against. Apparently, you're supposed to say against.
Oh,
you say against?
Don't look at me so shocked.
Against?
I say like pasta, taco.
Taco.
Oh,
yeah. That is a funny one. Taco. That's a very taco. English thing. I remember one time I went in England and this, I was like, do you guys have Mexican food here? They're like, what, like tacos? And I'm like, my, never mind. I'll do a chicken curry. Thank you.
What you're good at.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I get self-conscious when I say some words right now.
Mm, it's great though. I think you got to embrace it.
Well, that's what I was talking about this with my twin sister, actually, Beatrice. And she was like, Jeannie, don't change how you speak because of what other people think.
I
and
agree. I
was like,
definitely okay. Don't. Definitely
I,
yeah, don't.
I agree.
And I think if you just got to lean into who you are. I had a friend actually who was American and decided that he was one day just going to start working the word mate into his vocab. I was like, that
with the accent?
Work.
Like,
no, just American. He'd be like, hey, mate. I'm like, no,
no,
doesn't work.
No, 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 no.
Doesn't work. Can't do that.
Okay, so he was trying to be he was not.
No, he's like from Indiana.
Okay.
And he's trying to say mate. I'm like, no, 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 no.
Huh.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
No, that doesn't work.
But no, you can, you're, you yeah, should go all in on the Canadian.
Okay, like, I will. I'll be true amp it to my, up. My
like,
core.
Do more,
right?
Yeah, do more. Yeah.
Well, do you? What's your Hawaiian slang?
So supposedly I like really enunciate all the T's, like button. And like, I don't know, other
I heard butt tin and I was yeah, very butt-tin. Confused.
Like I guess I do that. And I don't know, like back in Hawaii, like I didn't realize we say try for everything. So like if I, you know, if you're eating something or if I want you to go get grab me some M&Ms, I was like, try, go get me, grab me some M&Ms.
Like instead try.
Of, yeah, let's try. Everything's try. I don't know why.
Try.
Or like, if you don't, it's okay, but you tried.
Yeah. You know, you add some like random Hawaiian words into things too. Like, you know, like, are you pow? Like, which means are you done? Like, I thought like, oh, like wow. Little, you know, just like.
That's like a whole other language.
Yeah. Or
yeah,
like,
that's. You know, just pronounce like, things differently. She's making words
yeah,
up.
Yeah, no, she's weirder than me.
Yeah, that was just like when I came to the mainland, there was like two things I was like really fascinated with was squirrels and raccoons.
You don't
and
have just, those in Hawaii?
No.
Oh my gosh.
I would call my best friend. We would call each other like random times in the night and the day. I'm like, oh my God, you won't believe what I saw. I saw a raccoon on a dumpster.
Oh my God.
I love how she's excited by that. That's really yeah, adorable.
And you have like whales and dolphins.
Yeah.
Way better mean. Things yeah. than raccoons and dumpsters.
They're so cute. Raccoons.
They are very cute.
They can be.
I guess next thing I wanted to ask you guys both about, you both travel a ton, or did and still do.
Okay, I'm gonna pause it right there. I need to ask you a burning question.
Okay.
Because I found something out about Hallie the last time we traveled,
it's
and
really
I
not
do it. Not know if we can still be friends. And I need to know if you're where you stand on this or if you have it or not.
Hit me.
Hallie Ledbetter travels more than anyone that I know and does not have TSA pre-check.
Oh my gosh.
Do you have it?
Of course.
Okay, everybody has it except
it's like $5. Get
it. Is it really?
No, I mean it's literally like whatever, $50 for 5 years, so or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know.
Honestly,
it's a nominal fee. You just gotta like do
okay,
the process.
Okay,
online.
Okay. I was just—I don't know. I was just always been really intimidated by the process, and I feel like you're pre-check shaming me.
Yeah, and you take your shoes off and you put your like
that
your
is
feet on
that
the
is,
ground.
I do. It's gross
every time.
I know.
Take your laptop out.
Yes. Take my laptop out. I know you're right. I really should. I should set
the process is really not that long.
Okay,
go do it.
Okay.
So this podcast is obviously sponsored by TSA Pre.
Yeah, TSA.
Go get your global entry. Oh, by the way, global entry. If you're you know listening, I need to change my name soon. So get me an appointment, please. Fit me in.
I just renewed my like global entry. Do you have to get that as well? Next
okay.
step.
Yeah, okay. Just get global entry.
What's the difference between pre-check and global entry?
Well, so global entry is kind of from country to country. Pre-check okay. is just like within the states going to, through a faster line
okay,
because
okay,
they do
okay.
a background check on you. And mm-hmm. global entry is a more like worldwide ones. Like you can come in from Australia and there's like a faster global entry
oh,
line.
Okay.
Things like
all
that.
All right. Well, I don't go abroad too much, but you're right.
For sure within the states. For sure.
I should, yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm. I should get it. All right. Okay. I will get that. I will get that.
I thought you were going to say she was like a clapper when the plane lands or something. I was
oh,
like
gosh,
really scared. I was really scared.
No.
Or those people
God.
That stand up like immediately, even though they're like in row 20 and like you're not going to move
no.
for 10 minutes.
No.
But Hallie does have one, one thing that if you do, then.
Yeah. I mean, you cannot wear jeans on airplanes.
Oh, of course not.
It's
this outfit.
Yeah,
it's a sweatsuit
we
all day.
We're wearing sweatsuits. It's sweatsuits. People that wear jeans on airplanes. Oh, like I can't even explain.
It's like people who come home and still stay in their jeans to like watch
yes.
TV on the couch.
It's just like, what? Wearing jeans on an airplane is like you're you don't love yourself. Like you're punishing yourself. You clap. I know you own different pants with more stretchy material. And the people mess with me like, what about stretchy jeans? I'm like, no, anything with the word jeans or denim or anything like should not be worn on an aircraft.
Fully agree.
What about jeggings?
No, those are just ugly.
Those are just, yeah. Yeah, that's no just one wants to see that.
No, definitely not. No. So yeah, that's, I'm glad we got that out of the way in the first episode. We need to talk about that.
I wore jeans one time and she literally, I think, almost deleted my contact from her
phone. It was just, it was shocking. It was really.
It shows you where someone's mental state is.
It is. I know. I'm like, I don't think this person is stable.
So what, do you have like one like real pet peeve when you're flying with someone or if you're like you're flying with your significant other for the first time? Mm-hmm. Are there anything that like are icks when you guys are flying?
If they just don't know how the process works, you know?
They don't have pre-check?
Yeah, if they don't have pre-check or if they don't like, I don't know, checking in, like, you know, let's go put the bags on the scale, like do it for me. Let's go. I don't know.
I agree. Billy, our first flight wore jeans. I was like, we might have to break up.
Okay, so what's like the courtesy here? Because when Hallie and I traveled last time, when I found out she didn't have pre-check, I completely ditched her. And went to the pre-check line.
But I do have clear, I would like to note.
Okay.
I have clear, but
you've kind of like,
it's, I'm like
digging yourself out of this hole.
Yeah, clear is great, but then they have clear pre-check, which is like, that's where I think I really need to get. But Michelle and I had a race
and
through the airport. I won because she had to stop and take pictures with the TSA agent.
Well, that doesn't count.
Yes, it does.
Okay, so what's like the right call? Like if it's your friend, like should I have taking my shoes off.
That's happened to me a few times traveling with my mom who I'm like, get preaching. She's like, yeah, I'll get around to it. And she still hasn't. So then I'm like, I feel bad. I stay in line with her.
Wow. What a nice person, Gina. Wow.
I'm just going to wait for her on the other end anyway.
You look bad right now.
All right. So I was going to say, speaking of travel, television, that's not a segue.
Just abrupt change.
Speaking of travel, another thing is over the T, television. We want to talk to you about television, Jeannie, because you've been doing some Tennis Channel stuff.
Yes.
Michelle's done some television. I started doing some television.
Why do you keep saying the whole word television?
I don't know. It's just fun to say. And now I'm like, feel like I'm out in the booth. Like, joining us today, we're in for a great evening of great afternoon of golf.
We're in the 1960s. Yeah. Like television.
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 Yes. It's because I have a year written as television.
TV, as the cool kids
TV,
say.
As the youth
or
say.
Teams. People say Teams?
No.
Teams? I've never even heard of that.
No, that's not
it. I try to sound cool, guys, okay?
You've been doing some Teams. What do you think about it? Is it something you'd like to do more of? Or are you like, yeah, tell me your thoughts. Tell us your thoughts.
I started doing it since I had my shoulder surgery, since I've been out of tennis. So I started about a year ago doing a couple weeks here and there for Tennis Channel. And since I wasn't playing matches, honestly, the fact of being on live TV just gave me that adrenaline that I didn't have, like walking out onto a court to play a match. And I've been so used to that adrenaline my whole career. And so it kind of filled that void. And so I'm like, you know what? I like this. I kind of need like I feel like I'm good in pressure situations as an athlete should be. And I need that. It makes me feel more alive. So clearly I'm an adrenaline junkie and might struggle in life. No, kidding. But I definitely, I really liked it. If it's a topic you know a lot about, it obviously helps, but there is a lot of research that goes into it. So it was a lot more work than I expected, but it was more fun than I expected. So I just did another week here in LA. And, you know, now that I'm healthy, I'm focusing on tournaments 100%, but I want to keep that door open for the future.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like the adrenaline of doing live TV. I mean, when I retired from golf, I mean, I was like, I'm never going to feel, you know, that adrenaline ever again, because you can't recreate that. That's like the one thing that's so special about professional sports is that adrenaline, no matter what you do, you cannot create that. I mean, it doesn't matter how many times I've stepped onto the first tee, I still feel like I'm going to throw up every single time. And that first like tee shot is a blur. Is that the same for you? Like every time?
It's amazing how the mental affects the physical. Like your entire body feels different. Like I feel like my nerves are on end. Like my body's like on fire just because of like this thought in my head of being ready to play a match and being nervous.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do when you feel that? Like whether it's TV or it's on the court, are there like one, two quick things that you do?
Well, for on the court, for me, it's just going back to like my little checklist of like basic concrete things I can do. Often when I get nervous, feet stop moving. That's our first thing in tennis is what usually happens. So I force myself, we sit down at changeovers. I force myself to like run up from the changeover. And then when the game finishes, like to run back just to keep my energy up. Because for me, I got to like, I can snowball into like becoming a zombie and walking slower. And then that's when I know things are not going well. So I got to force the energy up. And then usually moving helps kind of burn off nervous energy as well. Yeah. So that's like my first thing I go to, and just super simple like thoughts of like, okay, I'm going to serve here, hit there, stay in the moment one point at a time. I know it's cliche, but when you try to do it, it helps.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so, okay. Like your mental checklist, has that like ever become like superstition for you? Like where, like if you miss one, like, do you ever freak out? Because maybe I'm like mentally just not okay. But like, I felt like I got to the point where it gave me anxiety sometimes, like the checklist. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't do this. And now, you know, now I'm like going off on a tangent.
So do you mean like while you're playing or before a match?
Before.
Okay. I'm a little bit superstitious before as well. Yeah. I would say so. I, you know, have to eat the same thing for breakfast in the morning and like try to do my same routine. But then other times I haven't done it and then I've won the match and I'm like, see, it doesn't mean anything to me. Like, telling myself like, stop being crazy. And as I've matured and gotten older, I really try to tell myself the only thing that matters is what you do when you're on the court. Mm. Obviously, if you're a professional and do your basic routine and make sure you're ready, fine. But whether you eat like two eggs or three, or whether you warm up for like 30 minutes or 35 minutes, it's like you start driving yourself crazy.
Yeah. Like give us like the update about what's going on.
Yes. So I've played two tournaments. So I had shoulder surgery about a bit over a year ago. It was a long process. Shoulder's a complicated joint. This one, I saw her looking at my shoulder.
Like, this one. I was like, which one is it?
Okay. The one with Miss Doctor Who's fingerprint.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
Oh my God, seriously. This is one's facing out. If you see marks on my arm, I am okay, guys. This was voluntary. I actually really want this to happen. He does great, deep work. So yeah, long process. Finally back. It doesn't hurt anymore. Sometimes it gets tight and I just have to deal with that with treatment and therapy. And I just want to play basically as many tournaments as I can for the rest of the year. And I'm kind of trying to see this end of the year as like prep for next year and like be really hopefully ready to go with results starting next year. But I'm like literally trying to sign up for almost every tournament every week, see how it goes.
Awesome. It's amazing. You're going to some really cool places.
Right? I know. I'm literally flying to India tomorrow. So I squeezed you guys in.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I'll be gone for a month. I'm going to Chennai, then Seoul, then possibly Estonia for an event in Europe. And then just, yeah, I want to sign up for as much as I can. If I do well and need a break, I'll pull out, but it's more like, I want to know I have tournaments because for me, and I don't know how it is for you, Michelle, but matches are so different than practice. And so yeah. I just need I feel rusty in matches. It's that match play, the stress of something that really counts. You can't recreate that.
Cause you're not going to get that feeling that we just talked about, that adrenaline, feeling like you want to throw up on the tee box in golf or like your hand is like a brick in tennis. Yeah. You're not going to get that when you're just hitting with your friends.
Even if you play I don't hit with friends.
But. Okay, well, I was trying to sound cool, Jeannie, like I knew what I was talking about, okay?
If I play a practice match with another player, it's definitely a little more stress than just with your coach, but it's still not the same.
Got it.
Yeah, I mean, like in golf, we could do like, oh, you make 100 in a row. Right. It's like definitely not even close to the same adrenaline. But you said that you just played your first two matches. Like, did you have any sort of like PTSD from like the memories of the pains? I remember when every time I would come back, I was like, it wouldn't be a conscious thing. It'd be like a bodily response. I mean, like I would like sometimes like flinch, you know, and it would happen for a really long time. And I think it's because I played in pain for so long.
That is such a great question because I struggled with my shoulder a little bit. Like I was, you know, would start serving a couple months ago and then feel some tightness. So then I'd stop serving for a couple weeks and it was a little bit of a back and forth for a couple months. And then I went to go see this great physical therapist. He's actually Tom Brady's guy, Alex Guerrero in Tampa. And he was like, your brain is so used to feeling pain that you're lifting your arm and you don't feel pain, but your brain is like telling you that you feel pain. So that like neuro connection between your brain and your like body part. So for me, my shoulder is so strong and it's been years of playing with that pain that now your brain is like, hey, every time I go up to serve, it hurts because this is what I've been used to for 2 years.
Yeah.
So he really helped me a lot. First of all, with like the actual therapy and treatment, but also mentally being like, your MRIs are clear. You're fine. You don't have pain anymore. Like giving me that confidence to go out on the court and swing and feel free. And literally it helped the pain go away. So, you know, I know what you mean. So sometimes I'm like, oh no, it's back again. But it's really a lot of it's mental because we've just been suffering with this for so long.
Oh, totally. I'd be like, oh my God, I have it again. My bone's like, it's broken again. And I get an MRI and I'd be like, oh, it's fine. And
exactly.
Like, okay. I guess it's fine. Exactly. You know, you're like, you don't feel the pain.
So we just got to get MRIs every week of our entire body to reassure ourselves that everything is okay or else we're just overthinking.
Yeah. And there are no injuries. Jeannie, let's talk a little bit about dating. Okay. We want to talk a lot about dating, actually.
Injury is perfect segue.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really
this
nailing.
This is what you do when you're injured. You go
nailing these segues.
True. I got married while I was injured.
Dude.
Actually, yes. Well, because my question was going to be, how do you have time? And Michelle and I were talking about this yesterday, and she's like, if I wasn't injured, there's no way that I would have been able to spend the amount of time that I did with Johnny, her now husband.
Right.
So yeah, how does that play into?
It's so funny. I was talking to another tennis player and she was like, oh, I was injured for a couple months. And then she's like, and now I have a boyfriend. And I'm like, this happens every time. Like every time it's happened for me was either my off season. So when I'm in one place training for a while or when I've been injured and I have time to like, you know, be a normal person every once in a while. So I guess it's a small perk of like not being able to do your job. You can, you know, be normal, socialize, go on more dates than usual. But normally it's very hard. I mean, look, I'm going to be on the road for a month and just going to be in my room doing room service, hanging out with my coach. So that's what I'm foreseeing for the next month.
It's hard. I mean, dating while traveling. I mean, it is impossible to sustain a healthy relationship when we're traveling for 10 and a half months out of the year.
Yeah.
You know?
And a different location every week. It's not like you're kind of a base for a month or something. It's really like boom, 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 one week after another, at least for us, that's how it is.
And then in countries and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
What about when it comes to guys? Because I was telling Michelle, before I started dating my boyfriend now, I would have rather dated someone that had nothing to do with golf over someone that was like, oh my God, like Dustin Johnson is so sick. You know, like just obsessed with golf and obsessed with – I don't know.
So is he obsessed?
Well, yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yes. He duped me. He pretended not to be. And then he's like, surprise.
So he catfished.
Guess what I shot today? I'm like, oh, gee, good Lord.
That's funny. But you love it though.
Oh yeah. Now I'm like, oh, that's actually really fun. Cause we can play together, and have little matches and stuff. But, I think there's a difference between someone who's just like obsessed with like the PGA tour and just obsessed, you know, who's like, you work for Golf Digest, you're like, you're friends with Michelle Wee, like, that's so cool.
More like fanboying.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, versus like, you're an actual, like, appreciative of the game.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Right. But even, I wonder, with you guys both traveling so much, like, is it nice to find someone who at least has, like, a slight athletic background, who kind of, like, knows what you're going through? Or do you like someone who has a completely different lifestyle than you?
Well, I would say definitely I wouldn't want to date someone in the tennis world because it would just be so much tennis. I feel like nonstop. On the one hand, they would probably relate with you more than anybody. But on the other hand, it's like my friends. Like my friends are mostly out of tennis and I like to, you know, text or call someone and like talk about totally different stuff than tennis because my entire day is tennis. So I feel like the same would apply to dating. But I mean, you know, someone athletic is obviously ideal.
Ideal, you say. We'll get into that in a little bit. That is a precursor. Jeannie, have you ever screenshotted a combo with a guy and accidentally sent it to them?
No, because I am very careful about sending my screenshots. I screenshot things all the time. Don't get me wrong. But I like when I'm about to send it, I literally triple check like the contact, which is usually a number, clearly. Yeah. That I don't even know. But I am so aware of that because I can't think of anything more embarrassing.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
Talk about as a friend who may have done that.
I've done that so many times.
Really?
Me too. I'm just like,
I mean, not to like a guy, but like to girlfriends, I guess people that you're like not really close to,
or they say something, you're like, this is stupid. I want to send this to my friend,
my actual friend.
And then you send it to them and you're like, oh,
maybe the key is not saving it. So then you really look at the numbers and you focus instead of, you know, some people have the similar names or, you know, you kind of like lose the focus. But talking about embarrassing things, I have to ask you something.
I knew
you have
embarrassing questions were coming.
You have
she didn't
to
prep
be.
Me for these. She only gave me like the serious in-depth questions, like tell me about your sacrifice and things like that.
And your injuries.
And I'm like, I know something is coming.
This is the hardest hitting question of the podcast.
Oh God,
so
I'm already sweating.
You should sweat about this. Okay. I can't even ask this.
Have you ever?
Yeah, I'm about to like walk out of here, you guys. I'm so okay, nervous.
Have you ever farted in public thinking it was silent, but it was actually like loud?
Why is this so funny, guys? Are we like 5 years old?
Michelle was very excited for that question.
This is like way easier than I was like really scared. I was like, oh god, what does she know about me? She's gonna dig up.
I mean, I'm not gonna ask those questions.
I mean, you I could.
No, you know, it's like with my screenshot thing. I'm very like calculated very and controlled with your words. Maybe I'm a little too controlling or something. No, I'm kidding.
But is that something you control though?
Flatulence? I think you can, but it's like going to the bathroom in front of your significant other. Like, is that something?
Oh, hell no.
Oh, Michelle has to be on a different floor. She already told me about
this. Yeah, I have to be on a different
floor. Do you have to be on a different floor? Or
I don't have to be on a different floor, but like there's a timing to it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or if you go out and let's say you go to a restaurant and then you go back home, like you obviously go to the bathroom at the restaurant. So then, like,
right.
You
know, even if you're dating that person.
So you eliminate one at the house. You know, it's just like, I think there's like a certain boundary that you shouldn't cross. Because when you become too comfortable with someone, I feel like you kind of lose a little bit of
the mystique.
Yeah. And almost not respect, but a little bit of like just personal space and boundaries. And yeah. I like having clear separation there.
That's okay.
All right. Sam, I have to be on a different floor. Like, that's vacationing with Johnny still to this day, like, gives me anxiety about the bathroom situation.
And they're married with a kid.
Yes.
Exactly.
He's seen a baby come out of my downward parts, you know? And
you still don't want to use the same bathroom as him?
No. I mean, he's probably seen me poop on the delivery table, but I refuse. I refuse. I refuse. It is... I refuse.
I like that separation.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, girls don't even girls don't poop. Don't.
No. Yeah. Girls don't even poop. Yeah.
That's what I say. If ever any like boyfriend would ask me about that, I'd be like, "What do you mean? Like, I don't. I never do that.
No.
Yeah. They're like, oh, okay.
Okay. Speaking of Johnny, though, what about posting significant others on social and like soft launching and all that situation? Because well, Michelle,
can you explain
said,
what soft launching even means?
Okay. Soft launch is when you post like someone on your story and it's like a cheers and it's like a man's hand or you see like the back of their head and you don't tag them. Yeah, but all your friends or whoever, like guys you may be talking to, they're like, whoa, she's hanging out with another dude. Oh. You know, so you're just like hinting at like, oh, there might be someone in the picture.
Interesting.
So hard launch is like in feed, tagged. Soft launch is like stories, no tag, can't really tell who they are.
So what's the question? Like,
the question is, what are your thoughts on soft launching as well as posting? Like, at what point do you post your significant other on social, ever?
That's a great question. I don't know. I mean, there's no hard set rules. I find couples who post like very quickly or a lot, I find that a bit much. And you can talk about this as well, Michelle, but for someone who's so much of their life is in the public eye, I like having some things a little bit private, especially at the beginning. So for me, it would take like a lot for me to post someone. Like, I've only ever posted about one boyfriend in my entire life. And it was like after a year of dating and he was almost like, okay, are we dating or
tell everybody?
And then we broke up like a month later. So you know what? I don't have good track record on
with hard
posting
launching
with social media. So I don't, you know, I'm probably really bad at giving advice for this, but yeah, I think some things are nice to be kept private, but you also do want to like, you know, show off someone or like show respect of like, okay, like this is my person or something.
Right. Because we were curious, like how many DMs and dick pics do you get? Because when I post you on my story, Jeannie, I get guys asking me about you.
Oh yeah,
so
really?
Oh my God.
All the time.
So I can't even imagine.
But where do you see this? Like.
In my like replies to my stories.
And my friends texting me too.
Yes. Oh,
and texting Johnny at the same time.
That's so funny. Okay, that's a bit much.
But like
actual friends.
How do you sift through it all? Because there might be some eligible bachelors in there.
You know, that's a great point because if what you're talking about is what I think it is, like that's in your like requests on Instagram. Mm. So like, I feel like I've actually gained a lot of followers this past summer. And I think it's cause I was like newly single at the beginning of the year. And now I'm like, oh cool. People just think I'm cooler. It's like, no, they realize you're single and they think they have a chance.
It's crazy.
Guys that do have a chance. Let's talk a little bit about Jeannie Bouchard's ideal gentleman in terms of
I love
like
how you say gentleman, not even man.
Gentleman. No, we
that's wanna, the first criteria. Gentleman. So
exactly. Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about characteristics. We're gonna get into the physical preferences in a little bit. But we already know athletic is one of them. But characteristics. What are some things you're looking for in a partner?
I think someone, well, first of all, that's a gentleman, respectful, but also confident. I think confidence is very attractive. And someone who's funny, you know, personality matters. After a while, looks fade. And you just, if this is someone who's going to be someone for a future, then I don't know, you got to be able to make each other laugh and be friends. So I think humor is, as I get older, it's kind of like going up the list as more important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, in terms of physically, we're going to get into a little bit because we did bring a professional sketch artist that is going to be coming in and drawing Jeannie Bouchard's ideal man, because we got to narrow down the search. We know what you need in terms of character, mm-hmm. but we're going to get this sketch artist to come in and he's going to draw it out.
Know how to react to this. You have a sketch. Where is he?
He's coming. Yeah. So everybody that's listening to this, check it out on social. We are getting a photo made of Jeannie Bouchard's ideal gentleman. Gentleman is gentleman. Key. And if you've seen him, let us know. Tag any guys that you know that look like this in the comments.
And tag me.
Yeah.
It's like a most wanted sign or exactly. something. If yeah. you've seen him, call this number.
Exactly. We're going to meet up with our sketch artist here in just a couple minutes when he comes in. But we're going to finish off today with five questions presented by Five Iron Golf. On average, how many dudes or girls shoot their shot via DM every day?
Well, I would really need to go through my Instagram requests. We can go through them if you want to.
Oh my God, we should. Let's do it. We should.
We
do
can
that.
Just scroll and yeah. just like see if oh,
yes.
it's like
give me yes. the goods. Can I read out some of the,
sure,
the best ones?
Honestly, please.
This
do.
Is really great.
Okay.
This is really great stuff.
Okay. God. So Instagram, so you go here and you go to requests, right?
Yeah, we know okay. how give Instagram
me, give
works.
Me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me.
Michelle is in charge hey. Of my Instagram DMs. This is a dangerous situation.
Oh God, wait, this guy sent a lot of photos. Do we think these are dick pics?
Open it.
Usually it's like censored, right? Until you click on it again.
He sent you a good morning picture.
See, I have gentlemen in the DMs.
The gentleman, Jeannie.
Oh, there's a guy. Oh God. Okay. Oh, no, I can't read this. I can't read this.
I thought you were allowed to say swear words, but they just...
I can't read these.
Love you, honeybee. Miss you. Oh, Jeannie. I won't know. Yeah,
wait,
no.
Wait, hold on.
Wait, look for some more PG-13
I'm
rated
trying.
Ones.
I'm trying.
Just stop saying that as if my entire inbox is...
Oh, God.
Like...
Someone sent an entire message in vanish mode. Oh, hello, babe. Jeannie, love you.
Aw.
Tame. I'm not opposed to that. What's yeah. wrong with that?
Okay, let's see.
I told you, it's all gentlemen's in the DMs.
Only gentlemen's.
Oh, there's another sweet one. Good morning. Hope you have a great day and are doing well.
Aww. Wow. Wow, the DMs are much more...
Wow, I'm like
people
just
have, like,
polite than I would have thought.
Someone yeah.
responded
yeah.
back.
These, like, bad
wonderful. Oh, and there's another nice one. Hi, Jeannie. You're so amazing. Keep as awesome as you are.
Oh. I just got to, you know what? I need to start going through these
wow.
a little more.
Yeah. Guys, this whole time we were just thinking, oh my God, it's going to be full of dick pics. And it's just really wholesome compliments.
Yeah, there was one.
Every morning I should just wake up and read a couple.
Yeah, affirmations.
It's affirmations in the morning.
Read a couple.
Someone's Instagram DMs are now affirmations.
That makes all right.
me, like, happy.
Next question. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Time travel. I'd go back and win every match I ever lost.
Wow.
I hadn't thought about this before.
Clearly, what? I've been asked this question before.
That's just time travel.
Interesting. But what if it, like, you know, what if there were ripple effects?
Of course, if it altered the course of yeah. humankind, like, don't, we can't get that deep.
Yeah. That's good. That's
you know,
smart.
Like those movies where they time travel and they change
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, the butterfly effect.
Exactly.
And then you have to go back again and purposely lose the
yeah,
match.
Yeah, and then Ashton Kutcher lost all his limbs.
Oh my God, Jeannie, this is going to be another movie. Well, we're going to touch on the movie that you are involved in here in a minute, because our next question is, who would you want to play you in the movie you are executive producing about that famous tweet?
Yes.
Everybody's seen the tweet.
Yeah, in a nutshell, it was the Super Bowl tweet. Mm-hmm. I tweeted that the Atlanta Falcons would win. Then this guy said, if the Patriots win, we go on a date. And this is when the Patriots were down 28-3. Lo and behold, Tom Brady works his magic, comes back, the Patriots win, possibly the best Super Bowl comeback of all time. So I'm a woman who is true to her word. And I'm like, the next morning, it was everywhere. I'm talking like ESPN, BBC. My uncle lives in England. He was like, your story was number one on BBC, like CNN, everywhere. And I was just like, I can't not do this now because everybody's talking about it. So, you know, we Googled him. We did a background check on him. And, you know, I had no idea who this guy was. His profile picture was a picture of Tiger Woods, actually. Mm. And I'm like, this is obviously not Tiger Woods. So it's a super fan, which could mean that he is...
sketch.
Could be unhinged. Could not be. We don't know. Could be a girl. Could be, like, we have no idea. So turns out he was this lovely little young boy who went to University of Missouri, invited him to a basketball game, and we had a little date courtside, and he was a sports fan, and it was really nice. And then, you know, we kept in touch and hung out a few times, and I'll leave it at that. But then this producer and this writer came to us with, like, a script, and they were like, we want to turn this into a movie. So it was... awesome. I spent a week in LA pitching it to the different studios. Fox bought it. They are now owned by Disney. So our goal is to sell it to like a streaming platform and attach actors and actresses to it. What's funny is they're like talking about all these actresses that are so young that like I've never even heard of them, but they're like superstars, right? But to come back to your original question, I would go with like an actress I've heard about. So like someone like Margot Robbie or Blake Lively,
I feel like are good fits. Yeah.
But yeah, apparently there's like all these, you know, young superstars and they want the girl to be young in the movie. So it might be someone like that. But
all right. Well, maybe Margot Robbie could play you in the movie where you go back in time and lose the matches.
Yeah, we'll
and
do have that to
go
one. Back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Two more questions. What's your favorite cheat meal?
Pizza and ice cream.
Awesome.
Like together? Like ice cream on top of your pizza?
No, one after the other.
Last question here. What's the weirdest tennis superstition or ritual that you have?
That's a great question. I mean, there are so many like little weird quirks. I mean, you've seen like Rafa like mess with his water bottles, right? On the court. I mean, I'm not that crazy. He definitely has his whole like weird routine. I mean, for me, it's like eating the same thing in the morning, warming up at the same time. When I made the finals of Wimbledon, I listened to the same song right before walking out on court, and it got me far. So I feel like that's not
what
really
song?
Weird. Well, Danza Kuduro.
No,
that was the jam.
Like I'm talking however many years ago.
That was the jam.
My God, that's
like
awesome.
Which Fast and Furious movie was that? I remember at the end when that song came out. I mean, that was the jam in college.
Thank you, Missy Michelle's like Danza giving Kuduro. Me props.
All right. Well, that was great. If you love Danza Kuduro, I bet you'd also love Five Iron Golf. If you've not been to Five Iron Golf, you are not living. You can golf, practice, and party to Danza Kuduro. I'm not pronouncing it right. To Danza Kuduro. It's a high-tech, inclusive urban golf experience designed for golfers and non-golfers alike with 14 locations across 9 cities from coast to coast. And they're going to have 20 by 2023. Five Iron Golf is great for date night. Jeannie, once we find your ideal guy, you can go there. Quality time for your parents to flex on their foursome or the best happy hour a corporate work event has ever seen. So make sure you guys check out Five Iron and Golf Mostly listeners get an exclusive discount. Mention Golf Mostly at checkout to get 25% off your next sim rental booking. All right, guys. Well, this has been so much fun.
This went by so fast.
So fast.
We've been talking for an hour.
I know.
I could talk with you guys all day long.
Well, thank you again, Jeannie, for being our first ever guest. Make sure you guys follow Jeannie on social because she's a great follow. Follow us on social media at Golf Mostly and check out the piece of content that's going to come from today because our sketch artist is about to come in here and whip up a masterpiece so we can find Jeannie's ideal gentleman.
I can't wait.
Thank you, Jeannie, again.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored I was your first guest.
It was a lot of fun.
Let's do this again.
Keep going.
I know.
But we're going to dinner afterwards.
Yeah. we'll continue the non-PG stories later at dinner.
Exactly. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next week.